life on earth was not that long, but it had an incredible impact. Jesus lived about 33 years. He never traveled more than 60 miles away from where he was born.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick, here with Pastor Mark Job, the senior pastor of New Life Community Church, which is one church in 23 locations around Chicagoland. What a fun way to do church, Pastor Mark.
It is a lot of fun, let me tell you. It's a fun thing. You know, the church is like a movement, spreading, reproducing, yes. Launching, starting. And if you spend a few hours around this office, you will realize that we are in launch, start, pioneer, leadership-raising mode.
Constant flux.
And we have a new location that we are planting very soon in a northwestern suburb of Chicago called Elgin. And so I want to give a shout-out to all those of you that are in the Elgin area of Chicagoland. We are so excited, so pumped up that we are starting on the grand opening is scheduled for February 28th of 2016. We are starting New Life Elgin, beautiful facility right on Chicago Avenue, 1580 East Chicago Avenue, and so pumped up about it. So if you have family members, friends, and relatives that are not going to church or they've just relocated to that area, we want you to spread the word, let them know. And if you want further information, you can log on to our website at newlifechicago.org and check out the Elgin location.
This is going to be a great, great restart. And Pastor John Palmieri, John and Chris Palmieri are leading the way. Some of our most seasoned leaders at New Life. They've been in the game, church planting, for decades, and really, really excited about this. You're going to want to invite your friends in the area, come out with them on grand opening, and you can even start coming for the preview services as well. February 28th is the launch date. Make sure you visit our website for more info, newlifechicago.org.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Today, Pastor Mark begins a brand new series called Like No Other. Our message is entitled Like No Other tonight, and our text will be found in the book of Luke chapter 8. Let's jump right in. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
We're starting a new series entitled Like No Other. You know, Jesus was and is the most influential person who ever lived. His birth split the timeline. Every time you look at the calendar, in fact, we have an AD before Jesus was born, and we have a BC after Jesus was born. And so even our calendar, our modern day calendar, is based on the historic fact of the birth of Jesus. His life on earth was not that long, but it had an incredible impact. Jesus lived about 33 years. He never traveled more than 60 miles away from where he was born. He never wrote a book. He never went to other countries. He never was married, never had a family. Only had 3 years of public ministry. But within those 3 years of public ministry, the course of history would be altered forever. Jesus is like no other. Oh, there have been legendary figures that have risen and impacted this world. There have been intellectual geniuses that have given us insight into mathematics and science, but not like Jesus. There have been political figures that have rocked this world and set the boundaries for countries. There have been military prodigies that have risen up to conquer territories. There have been teachers that have taught us philosophy and that have astounded us by their wisdom and their insight, but none can ever compare to Jesus, because Jesus is like no other. I'm going to be talking to you about Jesus, and I want us to be looking together at the book of Luke, written by Dr. Luke, at his stories that he tells about Jesus, because I believe as we see these stories, it will give us insight and revelation into whom Jesus really is. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. There's a story. It's about two women. One young girl is 12 years old. The other one, well, it doesn't tell us her age, probably because she was over 40, and after 40, you don't tell your age. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 41, then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. This chapter starts with the plea of a desperate father. Oh, I don't know how many of you have children in this auditorium today. Would you just raise your hand? Anybody here have a 12-year-old? Anybody here have a 12-year-old daughter? Just imagine for a second, some of you have a 12-year-old daughter. Just imagine this horrendous feeling of seeing that 12-year-old daughter, her life ebbing away from her. And as a father, you have no power to change her destiny. I have three children, and every time they've been sick, I just want to do something, and you want to help them out. You wish you could, you wish you could take on their sickness for them, but you have to just help them out. And sometimes when you see your child sick, it's just a terrible feeling because you feel helpless, like, hey, what can I do to help this child out? I remember years ago, my youngest son, Grant, for some reason had crooping cough. And he was just a little baby, but he developed very severe crooping cough. And I remember going into his room, and his face was turning red, and he was coughing. And my wife and I praying over him and saying, what can we do? And so we took him into the bathroom and turned the hot water on and tried to get the steam there, and then opened up the window, and they say cold air helps out as well. And we had to call the ambulance because it looked like his breathing, he could barely breathe, and we were afraid that he was going to, that it was going to take his life. And they said, thankfully you called him in, and they gave him a shot right away. But I remember the desperate feeling of, Lord, help this child. Here's a father whose 12-year-old daughter is dying. He's driven to Jesus because Jesus is like no other, and he had heard stories about Jesus. Rumor had it that Jesus would raise the dead, give sight to the blind, touch a lame and they would walk. Rumor had it that he could multiply meals and feed thousands. Some said he could walk on the water. Others said they had literally seen him put the hands on a blind person who had never seen before and open up their eyes, and for the first time in their life they could see. Crowds heard about him. The curious, the antagonistic, the believing, all gathered to this man named Jesus. Some just wanted a glimpse at this miracle working man. Some brought their sick relatives. Some brought those that were troubled by spirits. But all of them gathered around to see this iconic figure named Jesus, who seemed like a man like no other. This father, Jairus, had an important job. He was the leader of the synagogue, a prestigious position. He was a man that many respected. He was held in high esteem as the leader of an entire synagogue. But when he finds Jesus, there is no polite introduction. There is no business card. There is no call me sir. He falls at the feet of Jesus. He grasps the feet of Jesus, and with desperation in his voice, with unconsolable sorrow in his heart, he says, Jesus, come to my house, please. It says he pleads with him to come to his house because his only daughter, about 12, was dying. Do you know that your prayers can can actually change the course of God? Do you know that your prayers can actually move the hand of God in another direction? Oh, we see it all through Scripture. I see it in the Old Testament when God was about to eliminate Sodom and Gomorrah, and he appears to Abraham, and Abraham talks to God as he's on his way, and he says, "Lord, if there's 50 righteous people, would you have mercy?" And God says, "Yes." And he says, "What if there's 40? And what if there's 30? And he negotiates down with God, negotiates all the way down to 10. And God says, "If there's 10, I would be willing to spare judgment." Do you remember when Moses comes before God and God is about to wipe out the people of Israel because he's just had enough? And he says, "Move over, Moses. I'm about to wipe out these people." And Moses says, "God, stay your hand. If you wipe out these people, if you let them die in the desert, then what will people say about you? That you're the God that drew your people out only for them to die? It'll be a bad sign on your reputation." And he talks to God, and God changes his plan. Do you realize that your prayer can actually move the course of God in a different direction? The Bible says that this man, Jesus, was on his way in a certain direction, and because this man was desperate and cried out to God, that Jesus changed his course and started in the direction of Jairus' house. You see, I believe that desperate prayers set in motion a chain reaction of God activity. Have you ever prayed desperate? I believe that many of us are used to praying, well, just generic prayers. You ready to go to sleep? "Lord, now I lay myself down to sleep. I pray," how does it go? "The Lord, something to keep. And if I don't wake up," something like that, "take my soul to heaven." Or we pray at mealtime, "Lord, we pray that you would help this food for the nourishment of our minds and bodies. In Jesus' name, amen." And then you eat your burger.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Like No Other, which is from Pastor Mark's new radio series called Like No Other. After tonight's broadcast, I will tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 8. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Like No Other.
I have heard some people say, "Lord, I know this is fattening food. Could you please take the calories out of this food as I overeat?" I'm not sure that God is always listening to those prayers, kind of prayers, but you're praying for the miracle of the calorie reduction. I'm not talking about those kind of prayers. I'm talking about the kind of prayer that you are praying for somebody or something or a situation that is so hard, so desperate. It's the kind of prayer that comes from your gut. It's the kind of prayer that brings a hoarse voice to you because you are praying with such passion. It's a kind of prayer where tears stream down your face and snot runs down your nose. It's the kind of prayer that is so desperate, so energetic, so desperate to get the attention of God that you don't care who is listening, because there's a situation that no one else can handle, that no one else can touch, that only God and His power can do something about. I believe those kind of prayers move the hand of God.
Hallelujah!
They move the hand of God. And I believe that, listen, I believe that God is looking for some of us to be desperate enough to pray that way for our family, for our marriage, for our country, for our neighborhood, for our society. I believe that God is looking for some people to pray. He's looking around and saying, "Will anybody be desperate enough to pray a prayer that I know is sincere? Is there anybody that cares about this family, cares about this neighborhood, cares about that person?" I believe that God is looking for people that are willing to pray. Let me tell you something about prayer. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the one that actually leads us to pray in deep and powerful ways. The Holy Spirit gives you burdens that are bigger than what you can handle. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit groans inside of us with groanings that cannot be uttered because it's so deep and powerful inside of us. I mentioned to you that during this season leading up to Easter, in New Orleans, you know what happens on Fat Tuesday? It's a big party. You know why it's a big party? Because people are getting all the sin out of their system because Ash Wednesday starts. Mardi Gras, it's a French word. Mardi means Tuesday, gras means big or fat. And so it's Fat Tuesday. People feel like, I can't sin that much when Lent starts, so I'm going to go out and sin all I can. So we're going to booze it up. We're going to party. We're going to party hard because Wednesday's a coming. How many of you know something's wrong with that mentality? Come on now. Come on now. Something just wrong with that mentality. Let me sin now because tomorrow's a holy day. But I want us to start. We are calling a 3-day fast starting on Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent. A 3-day fast. And I'm challenging all of you in one way or another to fast. But here's what we're fasting for. We're fasting for people to be touched by God during these weeks leading up to Easter. We're fasting for people to be reborn, restored, and revived. So you can fast a breakfast, a lunch. You can fast both of them. You can fast a whole day. You can just do a juice fast for 3 days. It doesn't matter to me what you do, but I want you to fast, and I want you to make your own list of people that you are asking for God to touch during these 7 weeks leading up to Easter. Why? Because I believe that God answers prayer. And I believe that God is looking for some people to be willing to pray. This man, Jairus, threw himself at the feet of Jesus. And then the Bible says, as Jesus was on his way. Why? On his way to the house of this 12-year-old, to see his 12-year-old daughter. He had changed his course. He was on his way. And something miraculously happened as Jesus was on his way. He encounters another woman. He's on his way to see a little woman. And in the process, he encounters another woman. And it's this woman that I want to focus on. It's this woman that I want you to understand. If you're taking notes, write this down. I'm talking about Jesus like no other and how he heals and touches our lives. Number one, our private pain can drive us to a place of true wholeness. Why? Because Jesus is like no other. Notice this woman. We don't know her name, but she is listed in all three, in three out of the four Gospels. Luke, Mark, and Matthew all tell her story. We don't know exactly where she came from, but she's a woman known as the woman with an issue. How many women can relate? Now, she had an issue of blood, but we all have issues. She's the woman with an issue of blood. Tell the person beside you, you have an issue and I have an issue. Come on. We all have issues. Don't act all sanctimonious like you don't have issues. Come on. I know you're in church, but we know even church people have issues. This woman had an issue. But like a lot of issues, this woman had an issue that she was embarrassed about. In fact, the nature of this issue, she had bleeding. The Bible tells us that this woman had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging and had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. In Mark chapter 5, verse 24 through 26, it says she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she only grew worse. Now, this was particularly difficult because this woman had issues that a gynecologist would take care of. Yet her issues had become public issues. She had a condition that had affected her physically, financially, socially, spiritually, and emotionally. She had been bleeding for 12 years and couldn't figure out why she was bleeding. Maybe it was a colon issue. Maybe she had cancer inside of her stomach. Maybe it was some kind of bleeding ulcer. We don't know exactly what her condition was, but it was a severe condition that had left her anemic because she had been bleeding for so long and could not stop the bleeding. In her effort to solve this problem, she had gone from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor, trying to figure out the solution to her problem. Every doctor had promised her that he thought he could help her, but in the end, she was worse than when she started, and she had depleted all of her finances going from doctor to doctor to try to solve her problem. She was socially alienated. Under ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, she was considered unclean, which meant that she could not have any physical contact with other people without making them unclean as well. If she hugged her daughter, she would make her daughter unclean. If she held the hand of her husband would be unclean. If she just greeted someone and touched them in any way, they also would be unclean, which meant that they would have to be 7 days of purification in which they could not go to the temple or touch any other person. They would be considered unclean as well. In Leviticus 15, 25 through 28, it says, a woman with a discharge is unclean. Any bed she lies on is unclean. Anything she sits on is unclean. Whoever she touches them will also be unclean. Whatever bed she laid on was unclean. Wherever she sat was unclean. Whoever she touched was unclean. And this woman was also spiritually affected because if you're unclean, you are also unable to go to the temple or the synagogue. And so for 12 years, she had not been able to hear scripture. For 12 years, she was not allowed to be in the synagogue and go to religious services or activities. She would come to the entrance of church, so to speak, and not be allowed in because she was unclean. This woman had reached the end of her rope. She had tried everything, gone to everybody she knew, but she had never gone to someone that was like Jesus. And so the Bible tells us that this woman's pain, I want you to see the word in Mark chapter 5, it says she had suffered. Can I tell you something about private pain? I believe that private pain sometimes can be what drives us to God Himself. Do you realize, some of you are not going to like what I'm about to say, but do you realize that pain at times is a gift? The gift of pain. I have to do a message on that sometime, but that's another message. There are certain things that can only happen in our life if we experience pain. Pain is an accelerant. It makes us move quicker in one direction or the other. If you've ever seen someone riding horses and has spurs on them. When they're riding a horse, they have spurs on the end of the boot. And what do? They kick the horse lightly with the spurs. And that causes what in the horse? Pain. It causes pain. And what does that pain make the horse do? The horse runs faster. Why? Because the horse knows that if I run slow, I'm going to feel the pain again. So I run faster. It makes the horse go faster because they're running from the pain. They don't want to experience the pain. We do the same thing, right? Have you ever walked into the kitchen and you didn't know someone just had the burner on the stove and you put your hand on the stove and or on the burner, something that's really hot, and what happens immediately? You react immediately and you pull away fast. Why? Because pain is the accelerant. Pain causes motion. Pain causes you to move away from something quickly. And every time you move away from something, you are moving towards something.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Like No Other. And tonight was the first half of his message called Like No Other. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free as a Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark has a book called Unstuck. Those are available for $10 plus shipping. If you're looking to visit a church on Sunday, we invite you to check out some of our new Life locations. We've got New Life Elgin, New Life Hobart, and we relaunched New Life Berwyn. Log on to our website at newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org for more information. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thanks again for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.